Hello and welcome to the UAV Wired podcast. I'm Joseph Willis, the podcast director, and our podcast host is Tarishi Taranaya. In today's episode, we are joined by Dr. Aaron Cook, a diagnostic radiologist at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee. Dr. Cook serves as both the diagnostic radiology program director and director of arts at Vanderbilt. In this podcast, Dr. Cook discusses her unconventional path to radiology, her passion for art and how she has been able to integrate art into her work as a radiologist, her views on mentorship, and her advice to those considering a career in radiology. Thank you, Dr. Cook, for taking the time to speak with us. All of Dr. Cook's contact information and links to the topics discussed in this podcast are provided in the show notes. I hope you enjoy this episode of the Wired Podcast featuring Dr. Aaron Cook.
Okay, Dr. Cook, before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to undergrad, what you majored in, and maybe some of your hobbies?
Absolutely. And first off, I also just want to say thank you so much for inviting me to join in this conversation. Really happy to be here today. I grew up in a very rural part of Wisconsin. The name of the small town is called Richland Center, about 5,000 people were living there at the time. We always joke that there were more cows than people in the county. I think that actually may have been true and not really just a joke. And so that was a special setting to grow up in. My father was in family practice, so I learned a lot about rural medicine. I was the oldest of three girls. And early on, I really loved just learning. It's kind of cliche, but I really was excited to learn about all sorts of things. So my interests were very diverse from a young age. I loved reading, I loved art. I started painting at a young age, and I also liked science and math. So my background right from the start was actually pretty diverse as far as my interests. When I went to college, I thought it was time to branch out from the Midwest. So I ended up at Wake Forest in North Carolina. And there also my interests were quite diverse still. I had a early idea that I was probably going to go to medical school, even though my father, he told me to go into anything but medicine. Coming from family practice, he felt like primary care was very difficult and actually wanted me to look at other things. But I was pretty determined by that point to proceed in the path of medicine. Yet I still had all these other interests. So while at Wake Forest, I did a lot of soul searching, and I decided that I really wanted to continue with those interests. So I decided to major in studio art while still pursuing medical school. And I was fortunate at the time that it was something that was welcomed by medical schools. They actually were recognizing that it was great to have people from diverse backgrounds and with diverse interests. So I found that actually worked out quite well for me. I was fairly unusual at the time. These days, there are more folks coming from alternative pathways to medical school. But at the time, that was something that really set me apart and actually turned out to be an advantage, even though some people thought it might have been a disadvantage. So that was kind of an interesting part of my background, that it was something that's much more common now, but at the time was considered quite different. After being at Wake Forest, I felt like I could not tolerate the cold of the North. So I was looking at medical schools in the South. So that's how I ended up at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston for my medical school experience. And that was just an amazing place to train at, to learn about medicine, really diverse student body. Made a lot of great friends there who I still keep in contact with, and that was very formative. And amongst the experiences there at Baylor was exposure to radiology. And that's something that I also didn't necessarily see coming, but it happened fairly organically because I knew I wanted to do something visual.
That's wonderful. It's actually funny. I was born in Janesville, Wisconsin, and then I spent the majority of my childhood in Houston, so we have that in common. And I definitely relate to the more cows and people thing, because I would joke about that as well when I was a little kid and tell people that in Janesville, there was probably more cows than people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's pretty funny. Yeah. It's a great place to grow up in. Really really had a wonderful childhood experience there. It's interesting to me after leaving the Midwest, how many people I meet in all sorts of parts of the country who do have a background there though. Yeah, we tend to actually travel well, and I think represent that part of the country really well.
I'm curious to hear more about your residency training. So I read that you trained at Ochsner in New Orleans. So how did you end up in New Orleans after kind of being in Texas and then, you know, going to college? And is Wake Forest in North Carolina? Where's Wake Forest again?
That's right. Yep. So Wake Forest is in North Carolina. And yep, I went to Baylor then for med school. And actually for my transitional year internship and for my residency in diagnostic radiology, I matched to Virginia Mason, which is a hospital in Seattle. So I was really lucky to have a combined program experience. I didn't have to move twice for intern year and residency, and it was fantastic to live in Seattle. So I've done a lot of moving, a lot of traveling. I have viewed the educational time as a time to try out new places, to learn how things are done in different parts of the country. Even though I'm quite introverted, I found at a young age, because my family did move a few times when I was growing up, that I was able to adapt to new situations. So for me, it was always very exciting to move to a different place. So after my residency in Seattle, it was the same sort of thing. I just wanted to explore somewhere new. I'd always been fascinated by New Orleans, the arts culture there, the music, the food, and Ochsner had a program for fellowship in MRI, and I was very excited to learn more about MRI based on my experiences during residency, having been at a place that was a smaller program. Virginia Mason's a community program. So even during residency, you get to do a lot of things in that sort of setting that maybe normally fellows might do in more of a university setting. So I got to read a lot of MR as a resident, and that really got me interested in learning more about MR at a higher level. So that's why I was looking for an MRI fellowship. So for me, the experience at Ochsner really combined a lot of things. It had what I wanted out of my fellowship year, and then also the chance to live in a place that I thought would be really exciting and just really fun to experience for a year. And it was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. So I actually decided to stay on there in a faculty position after fellowship because of that.
It's interesting because I always understood radiology fellowships to be more based on the organ system, like a neuro rads versus like a breast versus an abdominal imaging fellowship versus doing a fellowship in a specific imaging modality. So that's really cool that you could become well-versed specifically in MRI.
Yes, yes. There are different experiences regarding fellowship, and you're absolutely right. A lot of them are based on more of the organ system type of setup, but there are some that you can find that are more based on the modality. So MR, or there's some ultrasound fellowships out there. So it depends what you want out of the experience. These days we're also fortunate on the other side of fellowship to have a lot of different opportunities. So you can really tailor your experience to what it is you're interested in and how you see yourself proceeding longer term career-wise, just given there's such a diversity of options out there for you.
And Dr. Cook, I was reading your bio earlier, and it mentioned that you went back to Virginia Mason in Seattle to be the head of neuroradiology there. And then later when you joined Vanderbilt, you actually switched to abdomen. Could you talk a little bit about your decision to pursue neuroradiology and then that career transition to abdominal imaging?
Absolutely. Good pickup there. My background is quite unusual for academic radiology, and that's because I really don't traditionally come from an academic background in that sort of way. So my pathway has been very different from a lot of folks at this stage. So after I graduated fellowship, I was practicing as a general radiologist for a few years with Ochsner at one of their satellite hospitals on the edge of New Orleans. And that was great. I was very much enjoying that. It was the sort of position where I felt like I was doing patient care in a very meaningful way, a patient population where there were great needs. So that was very satisfying. I was also able to continue doing many of the things that I'd learned in residency and fellowship as far as keeping up my skills in a diverse range of areas, not just diagnostic, but some also interventional. So that was great. But I also realized early on that that might not be a long-term sustainable pathway for me. I'm the sort of person where I need new things. I really enjoy learning new things, and I needed to be in an environment where I was pushed to learn new things. So I had been talking with some of my friends up at Virginia Mason, where I did my residency, and it was kind of out of the blue. They had a position open up. So this gets back to something that I've told my mentees a lot. Just be really open to these sorts of things, because you never know. You might not really be looking for a job, but something will open up and you will get asked if you keep in contact with people. And that's what happened in this case. And so I decided to move back to Seattle because I really want to get involved in education and be involved in the residency. And at the same time, they had a need for somebody who had a passion for neuroimaging. And that was the area that I always wanted to learn more about myself. So it was very exciting to have both of those things in one position. And I was there from 2014 through 2020. That was something where I really felt like I gained a lot there by forcing myself to do a lot of learning on my own and consult colleagues and be, even though I was post-graduation, still in a very active learning type of state for myself. And I actually thought that was probably going to be my final job. I was very happy there. It was a fantastic place to live. But because of my experience as a program director there, I was a co-program director for the Diagnostic Radiology Residency up there. I started getting involved in national organizations. And because of my involvement on some of those committees, specifically with the APDR, the Association for Program Directors in Radiology, I started meeting more people in leadership positions at other institutions across the country. And paradoxically, because of that, Dr. Reed Omery, who's the chair here at Vanderbilt, he found out about my dual interest in art and radiology. And so he contacted me to see if I'd be interested in bringing art to Vanderbilt and combining my interest of art and radiology in a position at Vanderbilt. And as part of that, there was a need for the abdominal section to have more folks who had a interest in both MR and also I certainly read a lot of CT. So while it was not a way to continue what I had been doing exactly, it was something very similar in a lot of ways, where I was able to combine my interest in education, my interest in MR, while in a different environment. And even though that might have been something that a lot of folks would see as getting off of the path maybe that I had been on, it was something that for me was right in my path, because I just tend to really enjoy learning new things and having challenges in front of me. So I have switched quite a bit over the years, and I expect 5 years from now, I'll probably be doing something that I would not be able to foresee today.
That is incredible. And I think the idea of making that leap of faith and sort of pursuing not just what you're interested in, but things that you're, you know, passionate about and things that are outside, I guess, the realm of like traditional career development, how that's just opened so many doors for you. So that's wonderful. I'd like to hear a little bit more about you bringing art to the radiology department at Vanderbilt, what that looked like. And do you mean that you use art as an educational tool? Like how is art integrated into the radiology program at your current job?
That's a good question. And that's something that we are in the process of developing. This is a long-term type of initiative. I think about it in multiple levels. So I think about it as far as bringing art into our department and into our residency programs at Vanderbilt. So that means physical incorporation of that. We have a gallery that features art made by our residents, medical students, staff, technologists, faculty. Everyone's allowed to submit, as well as family members, so that we have a place to display the talents of the members of our department. And then that's something that we've started small, and we're actually working on expanding. Our Imaging Institute, which is right next door, is really interested in hosting some of that art in their spaces. Our breast center also would like to get some of the art into the patient-facing areas. So we plan to gradually expand that over time within the department. And besides the art that we're producing from our own people in the department, we also would like to feature more art from artists in the community over time is going to be one of my goals. And working with some of our medical students here at Vanderbilt, they are really interested in getting art into patient areas in more of the hospital level. So exploring those kind of projects over time, looking at it from the physical element. There's also incorporating art into our wellness activities and our DEI initiatives. So it gets at a number of different things.
That's incredible. I was just gonna say, you know, when people think about radiology, they don't really think about patient interfacing, and they don't think about, I guess, the patient experience, like when they're waiting in the waiting room or, you know, prior to a biopsy or getting an image done. But having that personal touch of having your own radiologist, the person that's going to interpret your image, help make a diagnosis, help create a care plan for you, having the ability to sit in a waiting room and then see their art, that's just such a new level of, I guess, personal interaction and such a great way to, I think, establish patient-doctor camaraderie and strengthen that relationship between the patient and the doctor, even though you may not physically see them or physically give them an exam. So that's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're very excited about what we can do with this over time. And it's something that we do feel like will create a more welcoming environment. We want it to feel like our spaces where there is a uniqueness and an individualized component that people feel like they're connected to our community. And it's not just, you know, like stuff in our rooms that we pulled out of a box, that it's actually reflecting right. Who we are. Yeah.
Right. And you're doing that too by pooling in those community artists, which is just, again, strengthening that connection between you and the patient. And it shows, I guess, your department's willingness to connect with the outside community and show that you care for them. It's just like another way to express community engagement. So that's awesome.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. You very much capture the idea. And we have discovered already that there are many folks outside of Vanderbilt who are very interested in lots of these concepts. So we certainly expect that this is really going to grow over time. There is interest, and this spans from East Coast, Boston, New York area, all the way over to California. Lots of interest in people trying to develop similar initiatives. So I do think over the next decade that it really is going to spread.
I also read that you were head of the ACR Radiology Art Task Force. Does that have the same aim as what you're doing at Vanderbilt, trying to bring those programs to other institutions as well? Or is the aim of that force a little bit different?
Yes, that is similar in some ways, as far as we're definitely trying to encourage the spread of art in radiology communities across the country. Some of the mechanisms for the ACR are a little bit different. And I would also note that the similar initiatives are being rolled out in other organizations and our other national radiological societies, like the AUR, for example, the Association of University Radiologists, other organizations, the SAR, Society of Abdominal Radiologists. These other organizations have ART initiatives, and all of them have a little bit of a different slant, and they're doing things in a little bit of different ways. But the main focus is, yes, trying to integrate art into our communities across the country and doing it in ways that we can get at patient care, that we can get at improving wellness for radiologists, but also our staff, our technologists, administrative assistants, people who are working in the department every day. And also fostering a sense of inclusion in our departments, because the art and the things that we're showcasing also can support those initiatives as well. So it gets a lot of different things.
Do you have a particularly like favorite medium of yours, like oil pastels or watercolor, anything like that, that you gravitate towards in your own art?
These days, I'm very fortunate. I now own a home, so I have lots of space to work in. That wasn't always the case. I used to do a lot of watercolor and oil pastel when I didn't have so much room, but now I have my own studio in one of my upstairs bedrooms, and it's fantastic because it's allowed me to really do large scale works. I do acrylic on canvas primarily these days, and my paintings are up to several feet in size. So my ability to create art has changed over time. I'm very fortunate. That's been something that has been very exciting as my career has changed. My ability to create art has also changed.
Where does your inspiration come from? Does it come from radiology at all, or do you just take inspiration from the outside world or people around you?
That's something that has also fluxed with time. I, like many artists, am often very much inspired by the art that I see out there, not just in museums, but in the community, in magazines, all sorts of media. It is always inspiring. Definitely, I've been inspired by things I see in radiology. That's one of the reasons that many of us go into radiology. I personally was, when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, I was interested very much in visual things. So I'd considered radiology, pathology, dermatology, basically anything visual. And so that has proved to be a driving force also in my art creation, is all these visual images that we're looking at all the time. I've wondered before, if I decided to go into pathology, would some of the things that I'd be painting be based on histology? I suspect yes, because certainly a number of my paintings have been based off of images, CTs, MRs, radiographs that I look at every day in radiology.
So this is kind of a silly question, but how do you feel about most images in radiology being on grayscale? Do you feel like being an artist gives you an advantage in sort of differentiating different pathology? Or do you wish that, you know, there was more color available to images to help you, I guess, better differentiate different pathologies, if that makes sense? I'm just curious, you know, from an artist perspective, whether you wish that images in radiology were more so in color versus grayscale.
Absolutely. That's something that crops up from time to time. And certainly we do use color in some forms when we're trying to display various things, especially in nuclear medicine. Some of those images come over with color, or there are sometimes color overlays on our CT or MR images, especially for fused images like functional MRI. But most of it, you're absolutely right, is grayscale. I think that's something that we'll probably be sticking with for a number of reasons, but especially for those times where maybe we're showing images to patients or providers, as our ability to create reformatted images and 3D images expands, that might be something that we may be able to do better adding in some color.
Nice. So this is kind of a pivot, but it seems like, you know, you've been able to make a lot of switches and transitions in your life, whether it be between subspecialties of radiology or even, you know, switching from a biology major to an art studio major. What's your advice to someone, especially a med student, who feels like they are stuck in a linear path, whether it be in their career, in their personal life, I guess, especially within their career in medicine? How do you encourage others to kind of make changes that are that drastic and kind of make a leap of faith into pursuing things that are stimulating and interesting despite the difficulty in the transition?
Yeah, it's definitely something that there is a certain element where it is person dependent and depends on your background and different characteristics of personality. So a lot of it's probably hard to define, and we all make decisions in different ways. But if there is something where you have that type of gut reaction or drive that you need to make a change, or that you're really interested in something but not totally sure if it's worth it, it probably is worth it in those instances. At least that's what I feel. That if you don't explore these things that there's something in your heart telling you you need to look at, you may wonder later on. And there are very few times where you will make a decision and you're going to be backing yourself into a corner, say. Often, if you keep exploring and keep trying, you're actually just going to have more options about what you can do later on rather than fewer. So I would definitely encourage my mentees to try things out. And we talk about trying things out early on. Sometimes the trying things out happens later, and that's okay too. You may get somewhat far along in a certain pathway, and that might be the point where you discover it's not the thing for you, and that's totally okay. Those aren't necessarily at all going to be wasted years. It's often more of an asset than anything. For example, I've known a number of people who've started out in a surgical specialty and decided that maybe for whatever reason it was not the right thing for them. And then they ended up going back and doing a residency in diagnostic radiology. And they have been amazing colleagues to work with because they have this whole other perspective and they know things that I don't know because they've been in on those surgeries that I wasn't able to be in personally. So we can really learn a lot from those other experiences, and it tends to really just make us stronger.
And I think it's fair to say, based on your experience, like being upfront and open with your interests and your hobbies has really played a role in kind of opening up opportunities for you and help people understand your perspective a lot more and giving, I guess, context to your background and stuff. And I think that's really helped you in your own career.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. There are some things that I think we tend to compartmentalize other parts of our lives. But for me, I've found that it actually has really served me well to share more about those other things. And maybe that makes me just an oversharer, but I think it's great when I can hear about all the cool things that people are doing on their time off and their time away from work, because it helps me understand where they're coming from better, to understand even, you know, why they're having a good day or why they might be upset. And I think we are people, you know, at our most basic sense. And while that sounds, you know, maybe kind of obvious or silly, sometimes when the work is busy and people are stressed, sometimes we kind of forget that. So I do think it's important to, especially as leaders, to share what we enjoy doing, what we struggle with, that we're real people, that we also do other things, that we're not just here sitting at our workstation and then we leave and we don't really exist, that we have all these other components and facets of our lives that we can bring in and make our work environments a more colorful place to be, I guess, literally and figuratively.
I think a lot of people feel that, you know, bringing those hobbies into will make them lose that passion. Like, for example, I really love music, and my mom is a huge, huge artist herself. She loves painting, and that's something she kind of keeps private. And I guess my love for music is something I keep private too, just because I'm worried that if I bring it in to my career, to school, I'll like maybe lose my passion for it because then it'll become work. Do you ever worry about that yourself with art, or do you find ways to keep your interest in art novel and exciting through your work?
That's an excellent point. And certainly we all have boundaries that we want to set in different ways. For me, it's been more energizing and more exciting to see the artwork of medical students, of our administrative assistants, technologists, all these people who have these amazing talents. That actually inspires me and makes me want to create different types of art, things that I might not have otherwise, because I've seen their images. And so for me, it's been something where it builds upon each other. And I really thrive in that spirit of creative sharing. But at the same time, I can certainly understand the urge sometimes of wanting to have something that's separate and protected. So it's not necessarily that we all have to do these things the same way at all, but it is nice to have a space where people do feel invited to share when it's on the terms that feels right with them.
What do you personally love the most about your job?
Ooh, so many things. For me, my current job, I have a ton of variety and I really thrive on that. Every day is pretty much different for me. I have, of course, my clinical work, but these days as a program director, and then also with my academic duties, I really have three different areas where my time is very much distributed across the week in such a way that I'm constantly thinking about different things. And for me, that has been something that has been very energizing. And it took a long time to get to this place. It was really a decade long journey here where I started off 100% clinical. And so to be in this type of job that I'm in right now, where I get to do all these cool different things. And since I'm thinking about different things over the course of 1 week, I feel like I'm less likely to feel burned out. It's really quite a gift.
Were there ever moments on your journey where you experienced self-doubt or failure? And if so, how did you overcome it?
Absolutely. Certainly all of us have challenges and we have things that come up that we don't see coming. And especially branching out into new places, that's just a part of the bargain when you're moving and you're coming into the unknown. For me, I was really lucky to have had a lot of those types of challenges growing up. Again, coming from a small rural community where I didn't have some of the advantages that people had growing up in more of an urban setting where they had, AP classes and prep course and more of a fancy background. There were certainly challenges for me going even just to college and understanding that there were things that I really had to put my kind of bootstraps on and do a lot of learning because I hadn't had the advantages that some people had up until that point. That was a point in my life where I actively made a decision that I really needed to follow through and be responsible for my own education. And learning those things at an early age just really helped me because at that point, say by the time I got to medical school, I just knew how to study and how to maintain that sense of self-drive. So the early challenges, moving multiple times during childhood and then coming from a place that was maybe not quite as advantaged as some other folks, that really actually helped me acquire the skills to adapt throughout the course of my career.
I love that. I feel like you can, draw from your experiences in all these different places and kind of use it to your advantage and also to relate to people too. Like I grew up in Wisconsin, lived in New York, lived in Texas. And then of course, now I go to med school in Alabama. And I feel like my experience in all these respective places makes it a lot easier for me to relate to people. And I feel like you might've had a similar experience as well. So that's really awesome.
Completely, completely. And I think that brings out another point of sometimes we assume in different parts of the country that we're just going to be interacting with certain sorts of folks, but it turns out that all these places are much more diverse than we may expect. And that's something for me that I've learned throughout all my moves is that the country that we're fortunate to live in really has a lot. And there are a lot of hidden gems in places that you might not expect it. So maintaining that open mind and sense of curiosity is really something that has been enriching for me.
So our next segment is more so about, being a woman in radiology. What are your own personal thoughts about the wide gender gap in radiology? And how did this affect your decision to pursue radiology as a career?
It's interesting. The gap was something that I did realize when I was in medical school. I knew this during the application process. And I saw that along with my background in art is actually an advantage. I felt like it was a way that I could stand out. At that point, I'd been through enough different experiences that it was something that I saw that could help me set me apart. The academic background, I'd done my studying and all that sort of thing. So I felt confident in that area. And so for me going in, knowing that I was one of a fewer number of people in that pool who were female, that was actually something that I saw as an advantage. It was also confusing to me because it seemed like a great field and I didn't understand why my classmates would want to do it and that sort of thing. And I still am not fully sure why we do have that gap. I not sure if we need to be doing more work reaching people earlier, maybe even before medical school. Maybe people aren't so aware of what radiology is at a younger age. I'm just not sure on why that gap still exists, because it's certainly something that I thought would have improved since the time that I was going through that process.
Have your program made any efforts to close that gap and sort of try to ensure that there's about an equal ratio for males to female residents in your program? Or is that still a struggle for you attracting women to pursue radiology?
Yeah, we are running about a third female for our residency programs. And we certainly would love for that number to increase. We have been working actively on that in multiple ways. One of the things that we have that's a feature of our department for years now is our Women in Radiology program. It's a fairly advanced program and is really well developed. And that's something that we do try to let our applicants know is a way that they will find support, that our female applicants will immediately have a community within our department. We certainly encourage leadership amongst our female residents, and that has manifested in a number of ways. Currently, for example, both of our chief residents on the DR side are female. So we're trying to take measures to identify people who are leaders, of course, across the spectrum, but certainly since our ratio of females, like a lot of programs, could be improved, we're really trying to make sure that they have some amazing opportunities so that they can shine and attract other females. It is a multifaceted challenge that I think programs are trying to attack in different ways, but really as a whole, we across the country and all radiology programs and department, I think we really need to focus on the pipeline. Why is it that we are not attracting as many females as we might? Because we don't want to, say, take female residents from other programs. We really want the whole field to be populated with more female residents. So that's, I feel like, where I would like us all to focus our efforts on.
That's a really good point. I like that you talked about a pipeline and sort of setting up role models for other women to look up to who are interested in radiology. Do you have any personal role models that have kind of guided you and helped advise you as you climb the ranks of your career, or any just mentors that have helped you at all during your training?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So many that this is almost a hard question. And I would say both female and male, many fantastic male allies out there for women in radiology. So early on, certainly my program directors, Felicia Cummings and Wendy Sue, were amazing mentors, and other female faculty at Virginia Mason, like Gail Morgan, who's really active in the ACR with her DEI initiatives, Marie Lee, who's active with the ABR and in nuclear medicine. And as I progressed in my career, I was also deeply influenced by people I worked with who are colleagues. One who actually was co-program director with me up at Virginia Mason. We had been residents together. She was at University of Washington when I was at Virginia Mason. And we went our separate ways for a little while for fellowship, but we actually both ended up in Seattle. And we became best friends and were program directors together. And we have different facets of our personalities, and we learned so much from each other. And so that was, even though we were not at different levels, that was a really important mentoring relationship for both of us that actually continues to this day. Even though we're in different parts of the country these days, we still talk all the time. So that's just something to keep in mind as far as mentoring. It can happen with people, you know, above, below you, at the same level. It's not really necessarily like a top-down kind of thing. And these days here at Vanderbilt, many fantastic female role models, Dr. Lori Diaz, has been an amazing mentor for me. And Lizzie Snyder also, who works along with Dr. Lucy Spludu and Courtney Tomlinson with our Women in Radiology program, all fantastic people, as well as so many inspirational leaders across the country. One who I think you know fairly well, Dr. Sherry Cannon, has been somebody who I've looked up to since I was a medical student, and many more. Geraldine McGinty, Caroline Benedictus, Tess Chapman, lots of folks over the years. And that's something I'm tremendously grateful for. And that is really special about our community in radiology, is that we have really formed a community that I feel like is very, very collaborative, and that we really do help each other. And that's the large part of the reason that we would just want to encourage more females to consider radiology. It is just a tremendous field to be in.
It sounds like it's not just about vertical mentorship and having role models that are in higher positions, but it's also about having like a horizontal relationship with your own peers and using that friendship and that mentorship to kind of lift other people up along the way and give voice to other women who, you know, may not traditionally have the opportunity to pursue more competitive fields like radiology. So that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. You are spot on there. And that's something that as I progressed in my career, which it sounds like you've learned that even maybe at an earlier stage, it's something that took me a little bit longer to appreciate fully. I've really come to understand how important that is. I learn things all the time from my residents and medical students, and the mentoring really does go both ways.
So do you have any specific advice for women who are interested in radiology, whether they be, you know, MS1s who are just dipping their toes into medicine and trying to learn about the specialties overall, or maybe even high schoolers, or maybe people who are later in their medical school careers and trying to decide on a specialty?
So one thing that I'd like folks to take away from my experiences is that there really isn't one way to pursue radiology or to even continue work in radiology once you decide along that pathway. Radiology is very diverse. As far as the types of work that we do, there really is something for everyone, and that we welcome people from non-traditional backgrounds. That's something where it really is quite an advantage because our work is so diverse. So there is a spot for you, even if you come from what you may think of is not necessarily a traditional or direct type of pathway, but don't rule out radiology based on that. There is room for everyone in radiology. And yes, it is these days a very competitive field to get into when it comes to the application process, but don't lose heart. I know so many students who have taken some extra time, and that is completely okay. They've ended up strengthening their applications. So it's the sort of thing, if where you decide is the right thing for you, you can definitely do it. For those who are along the pathway, but not totally sure, not quite ready to commit, just continue being curious, ask questions, try to identify a mentor, somebody who you really connect with, that you could work with on a project to explore those interests, and also engage with radiologists on social media. You can learn a lot about radiology and about different departments and programs through social media. It may sound kind of corny, but it was actually for me life-changing to get on Twitter. That's how I ended up at Vanderbilt. So I do encourage medical students to explore radiology on social media, especially on Twitter. There's a very large group of folks on Twitter. So you can network in a very easy way and really find your specific area in radiology much more easily, I think, than people used to be able to do before that existed. So that's something that I do encourage people, even if you're skeptical, because I was very skeptical, even if you're skeptical, to take a look at that. And one final thing, especially for women interested in radiology, that I just recommend is do really not discount things like emotional intelligence and all these other factors that maybe aren't immediately apparent, say on a standard application. But if you work on honing those skills, that's something that will really carry you well as you progress through your career.
Thank you so much. That's wonderful advice. And I definitely appreciate the emotional intelligence component. I think that the general perception behind radiology is that, you know, you're behind a computer screen, there isn't a human component to it. But I mean, in a way, you're doing the most intimate thing one can do in medicine, looking at someone's scans, looking at the inside of their body, and basically making a medical judgment based off an image without ever meeting that person. And I think that requires a huge amount of emotional intelligence to do that. So that's really important. A few personal questions before we go to our lightning round. What is the typical day for you, and how have you adapted your career to work for your own life?
Ooh, a typical day for me is almost hard because my days are all very different because of those three spheres I mentioned that I work in. But in general, my days start around 7. So sometimes we have conferences, tumor boards, meetings, that sort of thing that start early. So I may be in one of those, or if I'm not, I usually start off my day with some email and trying to get some of the administrative work done. Clinical work typically starts around 8, sometimes a little bit before then. And if it's a day where I'm on service reading scans, usually we try to get the work done around 5 o'clock, but we do work as a team. So that's kind of variable to some degree. It depends how the day is going, but I'm usually around that time. And then I often throughout the day, even on my clinical days, I do have a number of meetings and conferences, or sometimes I'm scheduled to give new lecture. So there is a lot of variety in my day and a lot of interaction with people. While there is the stereotype, even for folks like me, who's straight up diagnostic, I read MR and CT, and that's pretty much what I do. I'm interacting with people all day long, talking to clinicians, being in these meetings and conferences and tumor boards, and talking with folks at Vanderbilt, but also at other institutions through our national organizations. That's really, I feel like my day is very full of interacting with people. So that's something that is maybe hard to experience when you're shadowing somebody, but I do want people to know who are considering radiology that it is definitely a field where you interact with a lot of different people over the course of one day.
Right. And I think the common saying is that you're a doctor's doctor. So you're really helping support your fellow physician. And that interaction is so important as well, because the interaction you have with your colleagues and other subspecialties, you know, dictates patients' trajectory, their treatment plan, the way one might interpret, you know, their diagnosis. So that's also very important. Our last question before our lightning round is, do you have any personal goals that you're currently working towards? And are there some areas in your career that you are aspiring to make strides in or are very passionate about at this moment?
Definitely. So right now, my career is focused on three areas that really all overlap. So there's the education component as a program director. We're very interested right now at Vanderbilt in revamping our curriculum and making steps to improve how we're teaching and how we're adapting as we think about radiology in the next decade. So that's something that we're doing as a department, but that I'm specifically thinking about as a program director and educator. And along with that, there's my role in the arts and bringing art into radiology. And that's something that I've continued over the past couple of years, but that's just really going to keep spreading as we have this nucleus of activity at Vanderbilt and some other institutions. And that's something I will continue to really be actively working on. There is some overlap of the arts with education. So those do definitely interact together. And then the third other major area is DEI initiatives. And that's something that's very near and dear to my heart. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come to Vanderbilt, because our whole department has a huge emphasis on that. And I definitely see the arts as being very supportive of that. And so that's tied to our efforts in education. All these things go together, the education, the arts, and DEI. So my goals is to really continue to advance all three of those areas. And that's something that will be, over the next several years, my professional focus of interest. And as I mentioned, I am the sort of person who always has to keep learning. So I have some other personal goals. I really love learning about workflow and informatics and operations and some of the more backbone types of things of radiology. So I also for my own personal development and professional development, really want to learn more about those areas in the next several years.
Wonderful. Okay, so now we're going to move to our lightning round. These are just some quick, fun questions to help us get to know you better as a person. Not super serious, just really silly. But the first question is there a window in your main reading room?
Oh, no, it's dark. Yeah, it's classic dark room.
Nice. And how many monitors do you use in your main setup?
Typically 4. We almost always have 4 at our workstations, which is great. If I'm somewhere I don't have 4, it makes me very sad.
What do each of the monitors do? Is it like one has the patient's like notes in it, and then 2 for images, and then what's the 4th one for? Dictating?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, usually one, you have your dictation software up. Another one where you can look at, say, the reports from the prior studies or other type of clinical information. And then you usually 2 large diagnostic monitors for the actual images.
Gotcha. And do you have a special mouse or keyboard that you like to use?
I actually don't. That's something I'm pretty flexible on. But some of my colleagues have their own mouse that they carry around with them.
Nice. And do you have a favorite type of scan to read? I know you said you'd mainly just do CT and MRI.
Basically, any MR is my favorite. I just love MR, the variety of sequences. I love how it's like a puzzle where you can use the sequences to try to figure out what's going on.
Do you have a least favorite imaging modality or type of scan?
Anytime there's an endless list of plain films.
Do you have any pets? And if so, what are their names?
I do. So as one of our admin assistants calls them, I have my fur babies. So there's Maggie the dog. She's an Australian shepherd. And Babu Frick, which is actually 2 cats. For anyone who's a Star Wars fan, yes, you heard that right. Babu is one and Frick is the other. They're Maine Coons.
Nice. Are they really huge or are they normal sized?
They're quite large. They're females, so they're not as big as some that you see out there, which are usually the males. For reference, their dad was about 25 pounds. So,
So you've also lived in a lot of different places. Which one of the places that you've lived in has the best food? And do you have like a favorite restaurant from any one of the places that you've lived?
Oh, well, that's easy. New Orleans, hands down, has the best food of anywhere. Highly recommend if you haven't taken a visit there, anyone who's listening, that is definitely a food city. I'm not sure I had one particular favorite restaurant when I was living there, but my friends and I did have this what we call dining club, where every month we'd go to a different spot, and we did it based on the alphabet, starting with A, and as far as the name of the restaurant had to start with that letter, and then next we did restaurants starting with B, and that was a great way to learn the cuisine and see the city.
Nice. If you could meet one person, who would it be and why? It could be past or present.
Oh, that's always a tough question. So Michelle Obama comes to mind as somebody that I've always thought would be really fun to meet. I think she is such a inspirational woman leader. She's accomplished. She's very poised. She's kind. She has a great sense of humor, very strong. I really admire her advocacy work. And I just think it'd be really fun to learn more about her.
Yeah, she's amazing. Her background in law and public advocacy is just unmatched. Do you have a favorite book that you've read, or audiobook or movie that you've watched or listened to recently?
One of the books that I've really enjoyed reading lately is the book Quiet. It's about introverts and the, I guess you could say, special powers of being introverted. I believe the author is Susan Cain. Highly recommend. It's a great book, not just for introverts, but also for extroverts wanting to learn more about introverts.
That's awesome. I need to read that book. I feel like I'm an ambivert. Like, it depends on the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm a recluse and just need to recharge and be on my own. And then other days I feel more social, and like being around people gives me energy. So that's interesting. I'll have to read it. Do you have a favorite vacation spot?
Ooh, vacation. Well, we love going back my husband and I love going back to the Pacific Northwest. We both spend a lot of time in Seattle, but still there's so much to explore in that area. Great hiking. If you like being outdoors, it's a fantastic place to visit.
And our last question, do you have any closing advice for women in radiology?
Radiology is a field where there is a lot of variety in the daily work. There's a huge breadth of experience. So even if you're not quite sure what you might want to do in radiology, there's definitely a spot for you. So just be open to the serendipity of chance encounters and people that you'll meet along the way as you're exploring the field, and that will really take you far.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Cook, for your time. We really appreciate you coming and talking to us and taking, you know, an hour out of your evening to help us with our podcast. We just really appreciate you being here. Thank you for such a wonderful, informative talk.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks so much for inviting me. Really great talking with you. Really enjoyed our conversation.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider subscribing and sharing our podcast with those who you feel would benefit from listening. Most podcasts grow from word of mouth, so we need your help reaching other women so that they too will consider a career as a radiologist. Thank you for listening.